And he put his hands on my shoulder. And he said, son, I don't know if I've told you enough that I love you. And the intentionality of that, we don't have to have special circumstances or events or memorable places to have a life-changing conversation. It just needs to be intentional.
Top leaders, meaningful conversation, actionable advice, bulldoze complacency, ignite inspiration, create impact. Produced by Southwestern Family of Companies. This is the Action Catalyst.
Are you interested in advertising with the Action Catalyst? Our listeners could be hearing about your brand right here, right now. For details, shoot us an email at info@theactioncatalyst.com.
Today, we are talking with the son of a legendary Zig Ziglar, a man who's become a legend in his own right, Tom Ziglar. He's the CEO of Ziglar Inc. and has been a career in sales and has been working with Zig Ziglar Corporation since 1987. Has obviously spoken all across really the planet, and you know the Ziglar roots run deep and wide. And everybody who does anything significant in the speaking world and the training world is somehow tied to this wonderful family. And so, Tom, man, it's good to have you. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate you just being open to kind of give us a little insider access into your life. I mean, what was it like growing up as Zig Ziglar's son? Like, can you just talk to us about that just a little bit?
Well, first off, it was amazing. As much as Dad is loved on stage and through his books and people who met him, he was even better at home. I mean, one of my friends said, you know, your dad walks his talk. And he's a really good talker. And so he was kind and considerate, and he loved Mom like you wouldn't believe. And I always had time for me. We played many, many, many hours of golf together. We took golf trips together. I know because I've seen so many of my friends go through, you know, challenges in their family life. I didn't have that. Also, I don't know what another experience would be like. So it's just coming from my perspective, but he's the real deal. He never said anything on stage that he didn't back up and then some at home. I remember as a boy him coming to me and apologizing, and I didn't even really think he'd done anything wrong. He wanted me to know that he wasn't bigger than an apology. You know, he wanted me to know that he wanted to follow the Lord and do what was right. And if he got out of line a little bit, he'd pray about it and go make it right with whoever it was. So that was just Dad.
What's your favorite memory of your dad?
Oh, my gosh. I have so many of them. Playing golf, always just a special time, looking forward to it. Oh, he loved to compete. He had so much fun. And man, he would literally, he'd hit a good shot, and he would lick his lips. And the intensity of the joy that came out of that. Probably, you know, there's favorite memories and there's meaningful memories, and one of them did have to do with golf. I was about 22 or 23 years old. I'd just been married, and we were playing golf. And in those days, a lot of times he'd say, hey, you want to play? And I'd go by his house and pick him up because he lived right next to the golf course. And we'd drive over there and we'd play and have fun. And, you know, in my mind at that time, he was like the best dad who ever lived, right? So we come home, I drop him off, I get out, I take his bag into the garage, and I'm saying goodbye to him. And he says, wait a second, son. So I turn around and I look him in the eye, and he says, I need to tell you something. And he put his hands on my shoulder and he said, son, I don't know if I've told you enough that I love you and I'm proud of you. And it just hit like the intentionality of that. You know, you could tell that he'd been thinking about it, praying about it. And of course, if he'd asked me, I'd have been like, Dad, wait a second. You tell me constantly. You tell me verbally. You tell me what you do. Just imagine doing this with your child or your father, putting their hands in a quiet moment, one hand on one shoulder, the other hand on the other shoulder, just the impact.
It's such a simple moment.
And it's funny because earlier today I was talking to a good friend, and we were talking about the Masters golf tournament. And he said, have you ever been there? I said, yeah. He goes to the tournament. And I said, no, I got to play there one time. He said, well, who? And I said, well, my dad. And it was beyond awesome. But it wasn't as meaningful as the story I told you about a normal round of golf finished by an intimate conversation. And that just shows that we don't have to have special circumstances or events or memorable places to have a life-changing conversation. It just needs to be intentional.
What was the height of your dad's career? I know that you weren't always in the business, but you've been in the business since 1987. So what do you think he thought was the height of his career?
Oh, my God. He always thought the height of his career was in front of him. And so I think it finally came true on November 28th, 2012, when he went to heaven. That's the height of his career. The public would say that, you know, when he was speaking in the 80s and 90s and 2000s to the, you know, the arenas, that it had 20,000, 30,000. The biggest event he ever did had 82,000 people in a dome stadium. That's pretty cool. He went to Brazil and filled up soccer stadiums down there, and of course his book sold millions of copies. So he had so many of those career type highlights. But if you had asked that, he had always said it was still in front of him.
82,000 people. Good night.
After the first 40,000, they all looked the same, right?
Yeah. What were some of Zig's, like, just favorite things that were more random? Like, I had no idea. I didn't know that he loved golfing that much. I mean, I knew he was a competitor, so that makes total sense.
Oh, my gosh. He loved, well, golf, definitely. He loved just hanging out with the family. Having the whole family in the house, activity going on. Him, now this isn't going to surprise you either, but him with the book and his notepad, reading in a chair, working on his next presentation or his next book while all the family gets going on. That's like heaven to him. Even better if it's the lake house with the fire and the fireplace that he's built, kind of in the piney woods, you know, just a really quiet, serene place. He loved ice cream. I mean, he you know, whether it was French chocolate almond or vanilla or whatever it was, he just loved it. And another thing that he loved was cornbread and buttermilk. So he would have that for dessert. We'd go to Luby's cafeteria, and if they had crispy cornbread there, he'd ask for buttermilk from the back, and he'd have a glass of cornbread and buttermilk.
I think he read something like 2 hours a day.
Yeah, actually, he would do study and research and reading at least 3 hours a day. He got so excited. I mean, he could just see it when he had a new idea. And his sole purpose of that idea was, if he could translate it into simple language that somebody else could apply and it could change their life, he got so excited about having a little part of that. So he was always on that quest. I remember, this is kind of a flashback story, that I remember when he would come home from the road, and this is when he was in his 70s, because he was still traveling all over in his 70s speaking, and even late 70s. And so you're getting in and out of airplanes. You don't sleep as well on the road. He'd come home and he'd walk through the door, and his shoulders would be slumping from physical exhaustion, and his face would be lit up with complete emotional contentment. Job well done, energized emotionally. He's doing what he loved doing, and he was home. And I used to think, how does that happen to somebody as a kid and growing up and watching you do this for years? How did that happen? Last year, I had one of those weeks, you know, or maybe 2 years ago, where I'd sort of been three different cities, and I came home. And, man, I was physically worn out, but emotionally, I was excited. And then I realized his secret. Think about this. He had prepared 3 hours every day, and then 3 hours for that specific talk before he gave it. So that means he was putting the right information in his mind that whole time. And then he gave the talk. Well, when you speak, guess who else hears it besides the audience? The speaker. And then he would get feedback before he left, because people would want autographs and telling, you know, about the talk and about how they read his book. Isn't that cool? We can all do that in our own way. We can study to make somebody else better. That builds us. We can share it with somebody. That builds us. And then when they give us feedback about the success they had with it, that builds us too. That's what I understood Dad's secret. He wasn't being drained. He was being filled up by what he did.
That is so cool.
And no matter what career we have, you know, if we have a career and it has to do with things and products and, you know, technical things, then it's draining. But if you realize that our career is really about the relationships that we have inside that career, those we work with and those we serve, all of a sudden it can be filling up, because we realize our purpose is to fill them up. And we can't help but get filled up in the process of filling them up.
Absolutely. Well, what's going on with Ziglar now? Like, what are you guys really focused on? And what is the plan for the future of sort of the Ziglar brand and the Ziglar business?
Well, as everybody can imagine, we've been going through a transition for a number of years, even before Dad graduated to his ultimate goal, which was to get to heaven. because he wasn't speaking the last few years that he was here. But we have been really laser focused on attracting and connecting with all the people who've been impacted by him through the years. And now our Facebook is going nuts. The Zig Ziglar fan page is the place to go. If you need a checkup from the neck up, you just want to get some Zig quotes and some inspiration. The community is just amazing. But there's something about Dad's simple saying, his quotes that are viral, that hit home, that even though you heard it before, you need to hear him again. Mm. You know, it's just something about it. That's been really cool because the legacy lives on. I mean, let's face it, we are in a better position today than ever to reach the world. And so if we know that the principles that Dad taught and his philosophy work, then we have a bigger opportunity than we've ever had. So we are now taking our core programs and allowing people to be certified to teach and train those wherever they are in the world. There's three core areas that Dad is known for. One is personal development, one is relationship building, and one is goal setting. And so if you're a trainer, a speaker, a consultant, or a coach, you know, your audience, your customer is going to want information in those areas. And so we realized that, hey, if we could equip people to teach Dad's core material, how fast and how cool is that? Well, they can just take the best of the best and use it in their own way. And so we created a 5-day certification class where you come through, you learn how to teach it. You're given the materials, the leader's guide, the student manuals, the PowerPoints, everything you need to be turnkey so that you can go back to your audience. And then we went one step further. We kind of almost adopted these folks into the family, and we give them the logo, the Ziglar Legacy Certification logo, so that they can call themselves by that name, which gives a huge amount of credibility when you're going into associations and businesses or things like that. You want to bring in somebody who's really good, maybe from the local community, but they want to know what credibility they bring to the table. So this means that you've got the Ziglar stamp of approval on it. I love it because it's like I was finding brothers and sisters I didn't know I had. I mean, that's the coolest part.
Yeah. So they can, where did it go? Just Ziglar.com for that, or?
Ziglar.com. You can call us at the office. All of those are good places.
Last little thing, Tom, I just wanted to get kind of your ideas. What is one of the most lasting principles that he always promoted offstage that you really, you know, as you look back on your time with him, this is one of the biggest things that I learned from my dad that I carry with me forever.
Oh, I think it's his, you know, kind of his all-time quote, you can have everything in life you want if you'll just help enough other people get what they want. The motive needs to be to help other people be, do, and have more than they thought possible. And Dad kind of coined the be, do, and have philosophy. You got to be before you can do, or you got to do before you can have. And our culture is so wrapped up into the do and the have, right? I want to have the car. I want to have the house. I want to have the money. I want to, you know, I want to do this cool job. I want the applause. I want the big stage. You know, that's the doing. And Dad always said, no, 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 that's good. But what you want to focus on first is being the right kind of person. And when you're the right kind of person first, and then you do the right things, eventually you'll have all that life has to offer. And that's why lottery winners lose their money so fast, because they weren't the right person to handle it in the first place. If we're going to achieve success and fame and keep it, because believe me, you've seen the track record of speakers in our industry who do very well for a time and then kind of disappear. It's not their speaking talent that goes away. It's usually an integrity issue. They lose their credibility from that perspective. So maintain and develop and work on your integrity every day. And that's the difference. That was past sustainability.
And if you help enough other people get what they want, you will always get what you want. Tom, thanks for stopping by on the show.
All right. Thank you.
If you enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe. And to stay updated on everything that the Action Catalyst is up to, make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Action Catalyst Podcast and on Twitter at Catalyst_Action. And thanks for listening.